Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
It is wonderful to be here. My name is Lisa. I'm the pastor, along with my lovely husband Liam, at Podsmead, One Church Podsmead. And you can whoop. They let me off today to come and hang out with you guys, which is great. I'm really happy to be here. Like, Podsmead's going great, guys. Do you know, we've entered our 10th year this year. So, for those of you that are newish around here, 10 years ago, myself and my husband, we used to come here, and then the church sent us to go and start a church in a community called Podsmead, which is in our city, and it's amazing. And we've just seen God work in some amazing ways. Over Christmas, we had 234 people crammed into a tiny little community centre. And we're outgrowing the building, guys. So you can join us in praying about that. But God's doing some amazing things. And I'm really excited to speak to us today. How good has this series been so far? It's been amazing. The series is called Make Room. I believe that you've already heard about silence and solitude, that you have experienced this idea of slowing down, and talking about Sabbath. And when Amy asked me if I would help bring a word during this series, she said, yeah, these are the topics. And we thought you could take the topic of simple. And then I had to make sure I didn't take offence in that moment that that was a loaded comment, but apparently it wasn't, so that's all good. But I'm going to be talking to us today about simplicity. Simplicity. Make room for simplicity. We're going to make room for the simplicity of following the shepherd. The simplicity of following the shepherd. And I want to encourage you that this is not just like New Year, New Me series, okay? This isn't like as a church, it's the beginning of the year, so you know, we're going to make room for new habits and stuff like that. It's not a cliche. This series is not a cliche, but I believe that this is a specific moment in our history with God where God is calling us into something new, into a new place of making room before Him. And God corrects me on this a little bit, because I was being a bit critical in my heart about the fact that we always seem to do as a church, we're always like, yeah, come on, new year, new me series at the beginning of the year. And then in my Bible reading in Genesis 1:14, God just like smacked me in the face a little bit over this verse, and it says this: let there be light in the vault of the sky. This is God speaking, to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days and years. The beginning of this year, 2024, is not a mistake. Time and years and days and sacred times are appointed by God. It was His plan at the beginning of time that we would have beginning moments as we move into new seasons. God appointed time for the purpose of appointed times. And right here, in this moment, God has appointed this moment in your history to do something new, to call us to make room. Let's not belittle this moment in our history with God. I believe this beginning of this year, that this is a year where the Christian is going to step forward in faith like they've never stepped forward before. And the curious about Jesus are going to come close and they're going to cross over. I believe that with all of my heart, that God is going to do something. He's stirring something in His church right now, that He is going to do something phenomenal in us and through us in this year. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Awesome. At the end of 2022 and heading into 2023, I was not in a great place. I felt like I was crawling into the following year. I was like, it had been one of the hardest years for us as a family. Lots of stuff going on in our world, lots of disappointment, lots of difficulty. It was just, everything felt hard. You know when you get times like that when you just feel, everything feels hard? And I remember feeling like I was commando crawling my way into the new year, thinking, oh, I hope this year's going to be a better one. But, you know, I didn't have that feeling this year going into 2024. I was like, God, you're about to do something wild. Like, I can feel it. Like, God is going to do something absolutely extravagant in this year. That I didn't feel so beat up this year. And I felt like God is going to do something wild with my life this year. I was excited and I was pumped. And you know how it is going into Christmas. If you're a parent in this place, specifically a mum in this place, Christmas is a crazy period of time where you are making sure that everybody has the best experience ever, right? And so at the beginning of that season, I was like, okay, God, this is going to be busy, but I want to make sure that I'm given some time to make sure that I'm rooted in your word and I've got some time with you. What are we going to read over the Christmas period where I can just stick in that one place and hang out in that one place? And he was like, Psalm 23. And I was like, what? The funeral psalm? I was like, that would have been great last year. I could have really done with that last year. But I'm pumped and I'm ready and I want something exciting. He's like, no. Psalm 23. And so I spent the whole of Christmas in Psalm 23. And we're going to read that together today. Is that okay?
Yes.
Awesome. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How good is that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm believing that you are going to end this year being able to look back and say, the Lord was my shepherd and I lacked nothing. The Lord was my shepherd and I lacked nothing. Because we're going to learn the art of the simplicity of staying close to the shepherd. What does that actually mean, though? I think it means this. It means abandoning myself to his authority and his leadership. Abandoning my idea of what my life should look like. Abandoning my control freak tendencies, guilty, to his leadership, to his lordship, and to his authority. Do you know what? I feel sorry for young people growing up these days because they have so many rules, don't they? And like, we have to do so many risk assessments about all sorts of things. When I was a young girl, we didn't have the same like rules about keeping people safe and stuff, did we, Stu? No, we didn't. And I can remember I had a wild time growing up. Our youth leaders, which also happened to be my parents, so don't tell them I told you this story. But we went to, I grew up in the countryside in Cornwall. And they took us to the middle of nowhere, to this place where it was some wooded area, and there was a big river, tidal river alongside it. The more I tell the story, the more ridiculous it seems. And basically, there's a bunch of us young people there, and they tied us together in two teams. Tied us together, and it was called the Jailbird Run, okay? So we were all tied together, and then they said, right, you have to get to this location Together as a team, okay? And it is pitch black, right? Because this is Cornwall, there isn't street lights. So all we have is the moon and the stars, but it was also not a very nice night. So it's cloudy too. So it's literally pitch black. We're in the middle of this dark forest. We didn't have phones. We didn't have torches. We were there in the middle of the thing, all tied together, a bunch of like 14, 15 year olds tied together. And they were like, right, go. And then all of a sudden, it's like these teams just took off. Now, at the front of our team were a bunch of 14-year-old boys who wanted to win at all costs. They didn't hear the bit of get there together as a team. They were like, we are going to go. So they're like going for it like guns, bum, 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 through the woods. It's all really exciting. Everyone's really nervous and it's like dark and we're excited. Come on, let's go. And we're running along. And then all of a sudden, I was at the back and I think my little sisters were somewhere in between. And all of a sudden, I hear these screams coming from ahead and I'm like, should we be slowing down and like just being pulled along? And then all of a sudden, what had happened was some of these boys had jumped off a short cliff, expecting everybody else to follow. But the other people went the other side and they were caught on a tree. And there was my sisters dangling off the edge of this cliff. And it was great fun and nobody got hurt. It was all okay. But the point is this, what we needed in that moment was not a 14-year-old boy who wanted to win at all costs. We didn't need that in the moment. We needed a leader. We needed a shepherd. You see, in that moment, we realized who's leading you really matters. Who's leading you really, really matters. What we needed was a shepherd. We didn't even really need a risk assessment. What we really needed was a shepherd to get us to the location. And I want to ask us today, is our life a little bit like this? Where it feels like we're running in the dark, but who's leading us is not thinking about where we're going. And that usually means that we haven't made Jesus our Lord and our Savior. We've accepted him as our Savior, but we've not accepted him as our Lord, as our leader, as our shepherd. There's simplicity in following the shepherd. There's simplicity in following the shepherd. And I believe that this year God is going to redeem the role of the shepherd. He's going to redeem the role of the shepherd to us. For those that have been led by our family history, for those who have been led by fathers that have let us down, for those who have been trying to lead ourselves and it's just not really working out and we don't know what to do and we just seem to always end up in these roadblocks or a little bit lost. For those of us who have been abandoned by shepherds in our life, disappointed by leaders in our life, disappointed by shepherds, I believe that God is going to redeem the role of the shepherd in our lives. You see, because the way I view my earthly dad affects the way I see my heavenly father. The way I viewed people who should have led me the right way that actually led me to a place of disappointment skews the way I see my shepherd. And God is saying, I'm going to redeem the role of the shepherd in your life because you can trust me. Verses 2 and 3 says this, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. He is going to lead us to the place where we find refreshing. He is going to lead us to the place for his name's sake. God is going to redeem those things for us today. You see, the thing with sheep is sheep don't worry if there's something to eat. They don't. They just stay close to the shepherd. Sheep, they don't worry about where to walk next. They just stay close to the shepherd. You know, sheep, they don't need a plan for predators. They just stay close to the shepherd. If he's the good shepherd, then we are the good sheep. Well, not all the time. But isn't that amazing to think that I don't need to worry about what I'm going to eat? I don't need to worry if I'm going on the right path in my life. I don't need to worry about things threatening my life because I'm just going to stay close to the shepherd. Doesn't that sound like being refreshed? Doesn't that sound like being lying down next to still waters? I think that God is going to bring us into a place of understanding that you can trust him with your life. You see, it's really simple. Our role is to stay hungry and follow the shepherd. Our role is to stay hungry and follow the shepherd. But the trouble is, we don't like to be hungry. And we don't like to follow. We don't, do we? We don't like to be hungry and we don't like to follow. But here God is saying, I'm your shepherd, stay close to me. Make it real simple. Stay hungry and stay close to me and see that I won't bless you. Second thing to think about here is the simplicity of lacking nothing. The simplicity of lacking nothing. I love this. It's amazing, isn't it? You have this big opening statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then it's followed by all these like polarizing experiences. Shall we have a little look? There's a list of good things in not great settings. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. The darkest valley. He sounds like a pants. A shepherd, actually. I don't want to be in the darkest valley. But even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. So wait. I'm in a real scary place, but I will fear no evil. And then he goes on to say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What? The rod and staff, that speaks of discipline, right? That speaks of correction. The rod and staff does not sound like a very comfortable experience, thank you very much. But here it is in God's word saying, his rod and his staff, they will comfort me. Then it says, in the presence of my enemies, you lay a table before me. What? So I'm surrounded by my enemies. I don't know if you've ever been surrounded by a bunch of people really like shouting in your face. You're very lucky if you haven't. But that does not sound like a great place to sit down and have a meal. Yeah? But here, in this moment, these two different extremes collide together in the shepherd. And I'm trying to make sense of this. But what the writer is trying to say here is this. Look for the shepherd and you will lack nothing. We need to reframe the seasons that we go through. We need to reframe disappointment. We need to reframe difficulty. We need to reframe things that stand against us or difficult situations that we're living through. God invites us to reframe them. Why? Because the shepherd is present in the story. The shepherd is present in the story. And I believe that God is maturing us in this season to understand that your life going absolutely to plan is not the only way that you can see the evidence of God working in your life. But if you face difficulty, if you face challenge, if you face things that seemingly are lack, you will lack nothing if you know the shepherd is with you. A couple of years ago, I was not doing so good. I'd experienced some trauma in my life and I needed to have some help making sense of it. And so I went away and I had some therapy. And one of the things this lady did with me, she said, I want you to go back to this experience that you have had, but this time I want you to ask Jesus where he was. And I was like, that sounds stupid. He says, ask Jesus where he was. And I went back to this moment, or moments. I said, Jesus, where are you? Mainly because I didn't want to look stupid in front of the lady. And then all of a sudden, I saw where Jesus was in my most painful moments. And all of a sudden, my most painful moments became totally different. I realized in that moment I lacked nothing. I lacked nothing because the shepherd was present in my moment collecting my tears. The shepherd was present in my moment preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The shepherd was present and it reframed everything. It means that I can see the valley and it's dark and it's horrible. But I'm going to see the one who is with me. Yeah. I'm going to see and I'm going to experience his discipline, but I'm going to understand the comfort I find in his protection and his covering over my life that says, no, you don't want to touch that. That's going to hurt you. You need to come in close to me. I'm going to see the enemy. I'm going to fear the enemy, but I'm going to feast with the Father in the presence of my enemies. You see, we need to understand this very simple fact that in life, you having all that you need is when you understand that He is all that you need. He is the prize. He is the prize. He is the goal. He is your portion. He is your deliverer. We need to understand that God, the shepherd, the good shepherd, is your prize. When we make Him our prize, we have all that we need. It means that I can walk through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil because He is with me. I can see the difficulties that are ahead and understand that God is going to keep me safe through His protection. I can understand that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life because He who is faithful has promised it to me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because the shepherd is so present in my life. The shepherd is present in my life. He's the goal. His namesake is the goal and His anointing is the way. He's a good shepherd and He's a kind shepherd. And I don't know what kind of shepherds you've experienced in your past, but I can tell you this with full assurance because I've walked through the valleys and I have feared evil. Yeah. And then I've looked and I've seen the shepherd is with me. Yeah. And I believe that God is inviting us now in this moment to say, God, I don't want you to be their shepherd. I want you to be my shepherd. You see, sometimes we can be a part of the flock because this looks like fun and this looks like family and this is exciting. But you're not quite tuned in to the voice of the shepherd who Jesus said would leave the 99 sheep just to go after the one. Who delights to go after the one. And some of us, maybe you've grown up in church and you're here because your family are here. And it's time to stop following your mum's shepherd. It's time to stop following your dad's shepherd, your sister's shepherd. It's time to say, Jesus, you're my shepherd. You're my shepherd. Here's the thing. My kids are wonderful and they are brutal. And they'll sit up on my knee and they'll tuck in real close and they'll just be here and they'll be looking at me. And then they'll go, oh, mummy, you've got a wrinkle. You laugh, that was really painful. No, I'm joking. And the only reason that they know it, because I know you can't see any. I hope. they can only see that because they're close enough. Now flip that. We don't want to get close enough to Jesus because we're afraid of what he might see. And I really felt this before I came here today, that there are people in this room that feel totally ashamed. That there's areas of your life that you've put a fence around because you don't want Jesus to see it. But I want to encourage you today, he's already seen it. And he loves you. And he loves you. And he says, I want to be your shepherd. I'm going to keep following you until you turn around and realize I'm here. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. He sees every mistake you've ever made. And he says, I love you. I love you. I love all your scars. I love all your blemishes. I love them so much, I'm just going to wipe them off. Because I call you loved and I call you chosen. I put my name on you. The Bible says that I give you a new name. He wants to say, I'm their shepherd. He proudly says, I am their shepherd. And they shall lack nothing. For the Christian in the room right now, it's time to stop feeling cross and disappointed that your ducks are not all in a row. We need to stop blaming God and get behind the shepherd, reframe the season, and follow him in faithfully, full of faith and courage and boldness, feel the fear and do it anyway, to move in behind, tuck in behind the shepherd, because he's got places to take us that we don't quite understand, but when you get there you'll go, oh yeah, surely goodness and mercy followed me all the days of my life. We need to come back to the shepherd. I'm going to pray these verses over us in a second. And I think we're going to respond as well. Because I think we need to have a moment where we go, yep, I'm following the shepherd. Christian, come back to the lordship of Jesus over your life. Curious person in the room that wants to know the shepherd. He's like, yes. Come closer. Let me show you where we're going. Let me show you a good place to eat. I'm going to pray this over us and then we're going to respond. Is that okay, church? Thank you. Why don't you close your eyes? Just because it helps us concentrate. And Jesus, would you just open their spiritual eyes to see you? To see the shepherd looking at them with a smile on his face. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will lack nothing. God, I thank you that you make me to lie down in green pastures, plentiful places. I thank you that you lead me beside quiet waters, still waters. And that you refresh my soul. I thank you, God, that you guide me along the right paths. God, help me to stay on the right path, following you for your name's sake. God, would you glorify yourself through my life? God, I thank you that even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Help me to see you in those moments. I thank you that your rod and your staff, your discipline, they comfort me because they keep me safe. God, I delight in the fact that you prepare a table before me
in the presence of my enemies. That you anoint my head with oil. In other words, you heal me. You make me well, and you fill me with your power that makes me able to live this life full of you. That God, that you would do something in me so that you can do something through me, through your power and your presence. And I thank you, God, that because of that, my cup overflows. And God, it is my good confession today that surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in your house, Lord, forever. In other words, eternity with you is sealed. It is done. That there is nothing I can do that will separate me from your love, Lord God. You are my shepherd and I will lack nothing. I make room for you in my life to be my shepherd. You know what? Some of us need to put some things down to allow the shepherd to come in. And if that's you today, while everyone's eyes are closed, why don't you just stand to your feet if that's you? And you're like, yep, I need to realign myself with the fact that you, God, are my shepherd. Amazing. 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 You're so good, God. He's so kind. He's so trustworthy. He's so available. He loves you. There's a few more people that need to stand and join the others that are standing. I see you. He says, I see your warts and I see your all. And I love you. I can heal those things and I can make them right. There's some people in the room or maybe watching online and you've been hurting yourself. And God says, these places will no longer be places that remind you of how much you've failed or how much you've been rejected. But these places will now remind you that there is a shepherd that makes all things right, that makes broken things whole. And so Jesus, right now I speak healing over those places. I speak emotional healing over those places and I speak physical healing over those wounds and those scars, that the good shepherd would come in and he would make you well, that he would refresh your soul, that he would lead you beside still waters, that where anxiety has roamed around your life and caused all sorts of destruction, he says, I'm putting you beside still waters, and I, the shepherd, will not leave you and I will not forsake you. Jesus, we lay down the things that have got in the way of you being our good shepherd. And now, Jesus, I ask you to come and flood and fill these lives with your presence, with purpose, with power, with protection, with unfailing love, that your mercy is enough. The Bible says that whoever believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they will be saved. And so I take my authority, Jesus, and I give it to you. I call you my Lord and my Savior. I call you my shepherd. Jesus. Why don't we just join these guys and stand and just start to thank him for the room that he is about to fill in our lives. Come on.